Lord, we just thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these ladies who desire, God, to feast on the meat of your word, to study, to grow, and to share, and just fellowship together. And I pray, Lord, you just lead us by your Holy Spirit. God, I need your Spirit to speak in each one of us as we study, God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to see you, God, to know you, to draw closer to you, to just be fed in your word, God. And we just thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are and that you're unchanging and loving and faithful and true. And just help us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to give a little bit in the way of introduction. It's not on your sheet of paper. So, you know, you don't have to look at that right now. I mean, you can, but if you want to take some notes. But I came across this topic, I thought of this topic, like last year in the school, our students read The Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer. And it's just in the very beginning of it, it brought out this thought that just kind of made me think and stirred my heart. And it's a saying that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. You know, our minds, we've done different studies on our minds and how to, surrender our thoughts captive. And, you know, the mind is the battlefield. You know, we struggle with fear and doubt and different things like that. That the mind, we have the mind of Christ, and to submit to the Holy Spirit and to let him fill us and live through us and give us his mind and give us his thoughts. And we've talked about that in different places, retreats or Bible studies. But this is a little bit different from that. And it's, what are our thoughts about God? Not so much his thoughts towards us, but our thoughts about God. And whatever those are, and you could see it in the world today too, whatever a person's thought about God is, determines really how they live their lives. Not just what they do, but how they feel about things, how they handle things, how they cope with things. Your thought about God, and I'm going to be really repetitious because I want you to kind of think about it and just see, even search your own heart. What are my thoughts about God? That's one of the first questions on your sheet. So you can kind of be thinking a little bit. But the Holy Spirit's given to us, and this is one of the scriptures you'll have. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it says, we've been given the Holy Spirit to show us the things of God that are freely given to us of God, that no man can know God, no man can know the mind of God, but the Spirit of God. And he's given us the Spirit so that we can know God, and we can know who he is, and we can understand, our eyes can be opened. And it's not like a mental capacity, because I don't have the mental capacity. God is unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. The Word of God tells us that. But he, even in that, even in his vast greatness and so much other than ourselves that he is, he wants us to know him. And he wants us to know what he's like and who he is. And what you think, and I'm saying again, what you think about God and who he is determines your life and the choices you make and the things that you do. Let's turn to a couple of things. Isaiah 40:25. This is, I'm sure, a very familiar scripture. We're going to take a couple of things out of Isaiah. And if you want to use your paper for notes, there's an empty sheet in the back of it. Some of them, I'm sorry, didn't get stapled. So Isaiah 40:25 says, "To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things that bring out their hosts by number? He calls them all by names, by the greatest of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth." He's talked about a lot of things in this chapter leading up to that. "Why say you, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord?" Some people do think that. God doesn't see what I'm doing. Do you think that? That's going to determine how you act. That's what I'm talking about. If you think that God doesn't see everything, then you're going to act a certain way. If you know God sees everything, you're going to act a certain way. You know, our thoughts have a huge part in our lives. So why say my way is hid from the Lord and my judgments passed over from God? Have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a beautiful thing to know about the Lord. If your thoughts towards the Lord, if your thoughts of him are, he's going to hold me up. He's going to strengthen me when I'm weary. He's going to help me run and not faint. Then you'll be encouraged to face the things that you have to face. But are those your thoughts about God? Are those my thoughts about God? If in my thoughts, God is less than who he really is. All right. And if y'all need me to repeat something, I do, because I have to say these things slow to get them in myself, my mind. If in my thoughts God is less than who he really is, every area of my life is affected. My love is affected. If I think God is less than who he really is, my love for him is affected. My worship is affected. I mean, how can we bless and extol a God that we don't really think is almighty and all-powerful and holy and just and true and faithful and wise? Our words are just empty if our thoughts towards of God are not those things that he is. Every area of my life is affected. My love, my worship, my choices and decisions I make are affected by what I think of God. My relationships are affected by what I think of God, and my salvation is affected by what I think of God. So many people believe that they're saved, but they are following a God that's not the Jesus of the Bible. You know, there's not the God of the Bible that they're seeking after, but they believe they're saved. They've made up Jesus in their own mind. Like, I don't have to be this. I don't have to do this because Jesus, God is love, you know. And I think, have you all heard things like that? Have you heard people who've made up a Jesus in their own thoughts and minds, and it's not accurate according to the Bible? Y'all, today, Lee was listening, and I was so fortunate to be in the car to this. He listens to a lot of debates, and that's the only way I get educated, because I don't listen to that kind of stuff. And government things that are going on in the government. But this, he had this on, and we were driving, and it was really sad. And it was a man speaking, and just by his voice, he sounded like a Christian. He was just kind and gentle talking to this other guy who was kind of getting on him, and I wasn't hearing everything at first, you know. And then he was quoting scripture, saying things all about God and Jesus, his love. Well, anyway, when I got to listening to this man speaking to this pastor, they were debating each other. He believes that a relationship between a man and a man is anointed of God, and it's a holy thing, and it's good. And so the pastor would bring out, and he had a relationship with a man until the man passed away, all his life, a lifelong relationship. And he would said it's just as beautiful as a man and a woman. God loves it just as much as a man and a woman. The pastor would bring, what about Paul, when Paul says this? So what about, well, Paul was just saying that for this situation. But, and y'all, that is so, it's so common now that people will say, well, that was in that culture. So when it was written, forget that the word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, all of it. They'll say, well, it was written to a certain culture of people, and so you got to take it like that, because our culture is different now, so it doesn't really quite mean the same thing. That is so detrimental to people to truly come into Jesus. It's not the truth. They're not born again into the truth. And it's just rampant in our society because people don't believe their thoughts of God are not according to his word. They don't line up with the scripture, and that's where our thoughts of God have to come from. His word and his spirit show us those things. So let me read a couple of things. Throughout history, men have given their lives for their religions. Think about it. Just not just Christianity. All the religions, from Buddhism, Hindu, you know, Muslim, Islam. cults, you know, different things. People give their lives. Come on in, ladies. We have room at that table there and this table here. So either one you want to go to. But they've sacrificed their lives for what they believe. And yet it's been a God that they've created, a God that they've fashioned for themselves. And look in Isaiah 44. This is nothing new, right? Nothing new. Back in Isaiah writes, and I'm just going to choose a couple of verses out of this. Verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and Israel's Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. So God is telling us, he tells us what to think of him. It's not a mystery. We just see what he says, you know. Who as I shall call and shall declare it and set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. And he goes on to just extol and say who he is. No God besides me in verse 8. No God, but I know not any. But then he says what people do. They make a graven image, and all of them are vanity. Their delectable things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They see not, they know, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Like people are just blinded. They form a god or a molten or graven image that is profitable for nothing. It even goes on to say, I don't want to take too much time, that the blacksmith forms it. He takes tongs, he works with it, he gets really tired and worn out while he's making a god that he's going to worship. Like, why isn't that God giving him strength? Why isn't that God supernatural to make him, you know, just like Aaron? I just threw all that in there and out came a calf. You know, only God, only our God is the true God that gives a man strength to do miraculous things. And so God is just pointing out the just futility, is that a word, of just what men do. And then he even mentions, like, he hews down cedars in verse 14 and takes the cypress and the oak out of the forest. And then verse 15, he burns it to warm himself. He bakes bread on it. He makes a god and worships it. So out of one log, you know, or one tree, he's cutting up logs for a fire so he can get warm. And maybe another fire to cook on. And then, oh, let me see this leftover. I'm going to build an idol that I can worship. And he fashions it as himself. That seems so ridiculous to us, y'all, but that's what happens in this world today. Hey, friend, come sit at this table. That'll kind of get us some good numbers. That's what the society does today. And we need to be careful, even as believers, that my thoughts of God are, first of all, my brain can't even function in that way, but the Holy Spirit can give me that, the thoughts of God that are so beyond what man is, you know, the thoughts of God that says who he says he is. And he wants us to meditate on who he says he is and think of him. History will positively demonstrate no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Why is the church so weak? And I say that because there's a lot of churches that aren't really Christians. You know, a lot of people that go to church that don't even know God. Why is it so weak? Because their idea of God is so weak. It's not the God of the Bible. It's not the one that is high and lofty and inhabits eternity. Our worship is pure or base. I'm saying it slow so you can. Worship is pure or base or common, maybe even dirty, whatever you want to, however you think of that. It's pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. And I've just had if I sing holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, but I don't believe he's mighty. I don't live my life like he's mighty because my thoughts will direct my actions. You know, if I don't, now I falter in my faith, all right? And God will strengthen us and we say, Lord, help me. I'm having trouble. Help my unbelief. Help me know who you really are because I've confessed that you are this great and mighty God and I want to bless your name. I mean, our hearts are right before the Lord. I'm not saying be perfect in this, but when I know that he is holy because he said he's holy, he is powerful because he said he's powerful, my worship can be pure because what I'm saying is what I'm believing, my thoughts, you know. I think of this all the time. If I only think of God as a healer if he heals me. You know, a lot of people struggle when they pray for things like, Lord, if you'll just heal my mama and take this cancer away, I'll follow you, I'll believe you. And then they die, and then that person loses their faith in God. What kind of God are you? But I remember when Lee had arthritis for like 10 years, and one thing he would always say is, and he'd always pray for healing. He says, my God's a healer, even though I'm not healed. My God is a healer. My thought about God is he is a healer. And that doesn't change with my circumstances. And so like just other things you might think of, is he faithful if he answers my prayers? What if he doesn't answer my prayers? Do I still think of him as faithful? You know, a lot of times I'll look at other people's lives and struggles they're going through, and I go, God, why aren't you doing this? God, why aren't you healing them? Why aren't you, you know, paying for their house? God, why aren't you delivering them from this situation? God, why? And I, you know, don't really understand why it's not happening. And I have to, you know, catch myself and repent and ask the Lord to forgive me, because I'm not in that circumstance to see. I just need to look at what I know him to be. I can't judge somebody else's, like, what is, God's doing something. God's working. And whether, I mean, look at Job. Our lives might be like Job, but he knew who God was. His thoughts of God were, I know my Redeemer lives, and I'll stand with him on that day. His thoughts of God, he talked to God a little bit, you know, like, I don't understand why. And then God, of course, talked to him, and he just, I'll put my hand over my mouth. I'm not saying another word. I know who you are, God. And we just need to look at our own lives and think about those things. Do I still believe he's powerful even when evil prevails? I look around this nation. You look at human trafficking. You look at people who suffer, children who are dying of diseases in these foreign countries and no help. God, where are you? Are my thoughts based on what I see, or my thoughts based on who God says he is? Because we don't see, we need to keep track of his miracles. He's doing miracles all the time. He's answering prayers all the time. And he has the best purpose and the truest purpose in everything that he does. And I have to, my thoughts have to be that way, or I'm going to be tossed to and fro. And my life will be struggling. It will affect every part of my life, my thoughts of God. I don't want to take too much more time. Oh my goodness. Bring out like Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm just going to, we won't look it up. But Nebuchadnezzar built his own image, and he said, worship me. He made his own God. You know, this is what it looks like, worship me. And of course, what happens to Nebuchadnezzar in a few chapters later is he's walking around the palace. Oh, I'm so great. Look what everything I've built. Look at everything I've done. And then God says to him, you're going to be eating grass, basically. You're going to be crawling around like an animal and eating grass because of this pride in your heart. And that's what happened to him. And he's crawling around on all fours. His fingernails grow long. It's hairy, and just eating grass for, I can't remember how long it was. And then he's talking, and Nebuchadnezzar says, then I came to myself. Like his thoughts got right. His mind came to him, and he said, God, you are the God. And he went on to, it was beautiful. It's in Daniel, if you want to look at it. What he said about God, you know, you are the one to be worshipped and to be praised, and you are Lord, and there's no one greater than you. His thoughts of God got right, and his life changed. He went on to lead his nation. And the last thing you see about him is that, you know, he says, worship the Lord, worship the God of, you know, of Israel. So just to see how the thoughts that you have of God will definitely make a difference in your decision. So what we're going to do now is look at your study guide. And don't take too long on some of these first ones, but I want you just, leaders, before y'all really start talking, just take a minute and record 3-4 things, your thoughts about God. I mean, because if you sat there, you could write a lot as you just sat and thoughts came. But what are your thoughts about God, your God? Write those down, and then how they affect the way you live your Christian life. And then if y'all want to, leaders, I'll let you decide about discussing that. And then I'll let you take over. Just on a different topic, you know, but just to wrap up what I was thinking about is the publican and the Pharisee, and how your thoughts of God will drive you to real a man's thoughts of God, like Nebuchadnezzar. When you realize who he is and what you are and who you are, you cry out for mercy. And like the publican fell on his knees and he said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And he went, you know, the Bible says he went away changed. And the Pharisee just stood there and, "Oh, I thank you, Lord. I'm not like him and him and him." He wasn't seeing God. He was seeing himself, you know, and realized, thinking of his own righteousness. And so it's just so important and that we our thoughts of who God is reflect or reflected in our lives. And and just so I gave you of some scriptures just for you if you want to. It's not, you know, anything to report on, but just some of God's attributes, just a couple of scriptures on a few of God's attributes that you could study at home in your devotion time. But I'm just thankful for salvation. I'm thankful that I know that we can know who God is and then see ourselves and then cry to him for mercy, and because he is a merciful God. He saves us, he redeems us. So anybody want to bring anything out from your discussion real quick? Because I do want to finish this around 7 o'clock, which it's a little bit past, just to be mindful of your time. Anybody want to say anything, bring anything out, say anything? Thank you to the table leaders too for just leading the way. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this time, for your word. God, we could just sit and feed and study and learn of you. It's just such a wonderful thing to do, and I'm thankful that we can. I'm thankful that you want us to. I'm thankful that you've given us your word and your Holy Spirit. So I just pray for each woman here to go home tonight, rested, encouraged in you, and encouraged in your word, and thinking thoughts of you, God, of who you truly are. Thank you for loving us and saving us, and just going with us, Lord, from this place, God. In Jesus' name, amen.